Hey, this is Aaron Berry, and you're listening to Ainsley Dennis here on Alive 90.5 FM.
Got a special guest in the studio. We're just waiting for our other friend Cameron. He's always
I'm changing
his name to Mia, M-I-A, known as Missing in
That's
Action.
That's his puppy dog's name.
My mum's dog's name is Mia.
Well, Cameron, firstly, Cameron's here. We've got Special K here, and we've got a special guest in our studio today. And I'm very honoured to introduce you to Tarashai Boucher. Now, Tarashai is, just to give a bit of an introduction, because I love doing this, she's a top five performer, actually. She was a top five in Australian Idol in 2007. Tick.
Wow.
She's been in Lion King musical.
As Rafiki. Yeah.
She's been in Madiba, the musical, with the life of Nelson Mandela. She's also a minister, gospel minister, and she's just got 4 award nominations in the US, which we'll share as well with the listeners. So I'm excited to have Tarashai with us at this moment. But before I introduce Tarashai and have you on air, we're going to get her to do something really special, because you cannot get somebody that performed in The Lion King that doesn't start this off in the traditional way that The Lion King would be started off. You know, when they held Simba up in the air and held Simba up there. Definitely. Well, we've got Tarashai here. Tarashai, good morning.
Morning, how are you? I knew you would do this. I knew it.
Definitely. Of course, how can I not do it? Do you mind leading our listeners? Pretend I am Simba. You can't pick me up though. But
have to say that.
Thank you, Cameron. This is a real challenge. Okay. Well, Tarashai, if you can lead the listeners into a call to
Lion King, Circle of Life.
Circle of Life. Excellent. Hit it.
Na tingonya mama kiti babo haya.
Wow.
Done.
Love it. That was, oh, I got goosebumps. Have you got goosebumps?
Yes.
I got goosebumps.
Yes, we have Rafiki right here in studio. We got Tarashai right here. Love it. Love your work. So Tarashai, if you can share with your listeners what you're currently doing at the moment, what's some of the great work you're doing, and what's on the cards?
Well, because of the COVID, a lot of things just went to a standstill. So pretty much, I think the first, when the borders closed, which was about, I think, was it mid-January into end of January last year, I was pretty much sleeping at home for like a month, and I really decided that, oh my God, I was wasting my time. So I found it a great time to write and record music, because it's like we were pretty much working from home and everything. So it gave us more time to be in that relaxed kind of space and to do more. So I wrote and I recorded. And I remember we released a duo with one of these Congolese friends of mine. He's a singer, but based in Congo. And we released a duo in March, and it went pretty good. So we did a few things, especially the writing part, and I worked on my EP, which is still being worked on. I've taken time, I think, because of the relaxation. I've taken so long to get it done. But I've just released the first single, which I didn't expect it to be the first single, and it's doing pretty well, actually. I'm really, really happy about that. So, I mean, it's odd to fetch 4 nominations 2 days after a release. So that's great. It was a bit of a shocker. And yeah, and I'm really happy for it. So I hope people get to vote so I can win. At least one has to come to Australia, guys. At least one award has to come to Australia. And you know what it is? Like, they're having the awards in June. I really wanted to fly there, but I guess I don't think I'm able to. So I really, really want to take at least scoop one or two of those awards. I mean, I don't mind sharing the other two with other people, but at least one has to come to Australia. Yeah. Come on, guys, let's agree.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Let's make it happen, people. Let's
awesome. So just the awards that you have been nominated for is the Maranatha Awards USA 2021 for Best Breakthrough Female Artistic Minister in 2021, Mighty God, which is your song we'll be bringing out in Best Adoration Worship Song in 21, Mighty God Best Praise and Exaltation Song in 21, and also Mighty God Masterpiece Gospel Music Video in 21. So there's four great awards that you're up for. Definitely.
Yeah.
So excited.
I am too.
Awesome. So we're going to hit, let's actually bring Mighty God up right next for the listeners, seeing that we're talking about that. And before we do that, I'm keen to understand, because this reference you've made to the song as well, and you talk to a passage in the Bible, Psalms, if you can share with the listeners what that was about.
You know what? One thing I've realized about myself, when it comes to worship, because I sing a lot of worship at church. I love reverencing God and His creation for some reason. I don't know why. Like if you listen to the song Oceans from Hillsong, I like those kind of songs. And because I studied music theater at uni, I really love like theatrical kind of gospel songs as well, which many people haven't touched. And some of the songs on my album that will come out later are very classical-ish, theatrical side of things. So I really love reverencing God about His creation. And it's not the first song that I've written like that. I've written one for our church album, which is called In Your Presence, and it had a similar thing. So that's when I realized that, oh my God, I think I really love things like nature, things that got to do with nature. It really amazes me. And I was thinking about it, that when the borders open, I'm definitely going back to Zimbabwe. I'm not supposed to pour out my secrets, but anyway, I will do it now. I really want to get into the safari and film like all this wildlife things, because that's something that is very different from the Australian type of wildlife that we have here. And Africa is amazing, guys. It's got elephants, it's got lions, it's got everything. You can watch them hunt and things like that. So those are the kind of things I want to explore when I go back and bring it back here, not physically, but I mean say, through a video.
How would you bring an elephant in carry-on? Is that
definitely, I can't. I really tricky, can't. Yeah. Not even a lion. I wish I could have one as a pet, to be honest. I really would.
Maybe a meerkat.
You could steal a meerkat, I think.
Timon.
Yeah.
God, I wish. But apparently they're pretty cheeky, so it would be nice to have one at the zoo or something.
Well, Tarissa, the other thing, I'm up for it, because if you're going, I'm going to bungee jump off the Victoria Falls.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? I don't even know if I trust the Zimbabwean ropes anymore, man. I don't know. I'm telling you, because I've heard a few things that some of them kind of like broke years ago. Like the quality of things has changed. So I don't know if you want to take that thing. I don't know. Maybe you'll go to heaven a little bit earlier than you expected. Just be careful with Zim ropes. I just don't know. I'm sure they're pretty strong, but I'm scared of heights, like pretty much.
Yeah.
But I don't know how safe it is or anything like that. I just don't know. I can't say, because if I say it live right now, probably I'll get slaughtered. No. Yeah, but I still love my country. I love y'all. I can't wait to join y'all when I go back.
Okay, just but before we play your song, there's a little secret that I want to share with everyone. So you got an aunt that's also in America at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's playing a very important character in the Marvel series, Black Panther and Avengers.
Yeah.
And she's the warrior, the lead warrior with the bald head, playing the character, and she's got that contract, which is awesome.
Yeah.
No way.
So she's my second cousin.
And she was the one in Walking Dead as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's the one in Walking Dead.
The Michonne.
Yeah. But rumors are, I'm hearing that she might not be in Black Panther 2. And I was like, oh my God, make it happen, girl. Make it happen. She needs to come back. Yeah. I don't know what it's going to be like without Chad and her, to be honest. Yeah. I think they should, I don't know. Well, we can't bring Chad back. Mm-hmm. He's resting in peace. But her, I think she needs to come back. I really think she had a great, she played a great role in that. And right now she really supports women's rights and girls' rights, especially from abuse and everything. So she's doing a lot of what do you call it? Philanthropical work, whatever you call it. Yeah, she's doing a lot of that, and she's really strong-headed. Like, she's what you saw in the movie, that's what she's like, naturally. She's a nice girl, but she's very very, very tough. So, yeah, really, really good.
Excellent. Well, we're going to bring you Mighty God now by Tarasse Vishay. Okay, will you hit it for us?
Yes.
Ding.
Coming up next, we have Mighty God. Tarasse Vishay in the studio today, and she's brought us Mighty God and what a mighty God he is. What that's a reference Psalms. What's the chapter there? Psalms?
Psalms 95, verse 3-6.
Hit us with the verse.
Pardon?
Hit us with the verse.
Oh, do I remember it right now?
Okay, I'm putting you on the spot. Come on.
Well, it mentions how he's the King of Kings and the Creator of all being.
Awesome.
That's what it's about, yeah.
Definitely. I saw the music video. It's amazing on YouTube.
Oh,
and you're just standing on the cliffs and you see the beach and the mountains and all the creations that he has. And it's really referencing how great he is to have created everything.
You know, when you mention about that video clip, I really feel like laughing because there were so many hiccups with that. The dress malfunctioning, the makeup malfunction, everything was just crazy. I think it took us about, what, 2 weeks. And the, you know what? The greatest thing that I loved about the video was that I had a chance to get into the studio and help with the editing, which was not a very good thing for them because I was pretty much, no, put this here, change it, do this, do that. But you know what? Like I appreciate it. And I was really grateful that I was there because there's certain things as a Black woman that a Caucasian person cannot understand in terms of makeup. So if something does not look good, I am able to tell that this will not work or this will work. So for example, when we had a terrible dress there, I was like, okay, this needs to go. And when I got home to my mom, she was like, that blue dress needs to disappear. It needs to be out. So those are the kind of things I really appreciate. Whereas if I had not been there and these things would have been put in, like to reverse it again, especially because we were left with really small time just before the release to kind of alter a few things. So, but I'm really glad it came out well. And people, especially in Africa and the US and some in the UK, are really, really like they love it. That's the most important thing about it, that people are loving it. You know, it's not everyone that's going to love your music, but if you have support out there and you have people that are still appreciating what you do, it really means a lot. You know, it really humbles me. So I'm really grateful for that new journey that I've started and just hoping to see the best out of it as we keep going.
Excellent. Well, what we're going to do now is I'm going to bring you a next song that you've written, which is called Sovereign King.
Yeah.
What is Sovereign King about?
Again, we go back to God. It is about how great He is and the greatest things like He does for us. So basically, there's always healing, there's always grace, there are always blessings that come when you worship God. I don't know about other people, but look, I have seen seriously His hand in my life. And that song, actually, I'm not the one who wrote that song. A guy who produced the album in America wrote Sovereign King. So one day when I got there, I remember I had a very bad flu, so I couldn't record for 2 days. So I went to the studio and I was like, you know, just open your files and show me what you have apart from what I've brought for you to produce. Show me what you have. Because, you know, Black Americans, they just know their thing. Then he opened and he gave me this song. And I think it was one of the last songs that he showed me. And I was like, why were you hiding this song from me? Can I have it? And I was like, yeah, you can have it. So Claude Harris Jr. is the one that wrote this song. And he usually produces for Tasha Cobbs as well. She's big in America. She's one of the biggest gospel singers around the world. She signed to, I think, Capitol Christian Records or something like that with Sony. So she's an amazing singer. And he writes for her and other people like Jonathan Nelson as well. So he's a great singer and great writer. So he's the one that wrote Sovereign King.
Awesome. But you're singing it.
I am singing it and I nailed it. I think I nailed his song. For an African person compared to a Black American, because those guys can sing. You know, when I went there and I was listening to all these voices, I was like, yo, man, these guys are beasts. Like, in what they do. And I was like, dude, you need to teach me something, because I kind of felt small. I'm like, oh my God, I mean, I got grace, but when you listen to them, those guys can sing, and Americans are so exceptionally talented. The country is big, they have a lot of people. So you know what, but I nailed it. For an African person, I think I nailed the song.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we're gonna listen. I can't wait to hear it now. Sovereign King, looking forward to it. Hit it.
Your name is grace, and we will worship you, oh, praise forever.
Excellent. That was Tarasai Vushe with Sovereign King, and also tribute to the singer that actually wrote the song.
Claude Harris Jr.
Claude Harris Jr. from the States. Love that song, love the beat, love the message that you're sending to the listeners. Excellent. Kay, you had special Kay, you had a...
Yeah, I was just thinking about what you've gone through in your journey, in your music career. And I really was thinking about the first time you went on Australian Idol. And I wanted to ask, what inspired you to actually get on that show and start this music career that you had?
Okay, so I got my first record and management deal when I was 15.
Oh, wow.
So I was a minor back then. So, obviously. So what happened was the manager that was managing me at the current time, he got offered, I think, about 4 record deals. One was with Def Jam and one was with Universal. One was with, there was this guy that founded the Veronicas, Andrew Klippel.
Yeah.
And one was with Warner. And he turned all of them down behind my back because I was a minor. He was representing me. And I think my mom at the time, she wasn't pretty much focused at knowing how to go about with record deals and everything. I mean, she's an accountant. It wasn't like we'd just come from Africa. Come on. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't have had an idea. So I realized that he had like ditched me a lot by ditching all those record deals. And then I just left and I approached David Caplice, and he was at the time managing all the Australian Idols and working for Sony. So I sent him my demo, and then he called me and he said, Tarasai, I think I was 18 then. And he was like, you know what? It would be really good, a good exposure for you, for us to take you to down the path of Australian Idol. And I was like, you know what? I'm not really keen about this. But then later on, I just went and tried out. And then I was like, you know what, when I get through to top 100, I'll quit. I just want to see how I go. But I found myself going through the next round, until I got to top 24, and I knew it was like too late for me to pull out. So everything that I did when I was auditioning, it was like a joke, not taking it really seriously. But then I had to take it seriously later on when I was now on TV and everything, and my whole world changed straight after that, and I kept going. So everything was like a dream that year, to be honest. It was really, really like a dream and just flowing, and I found myself in a drama with the judge, and you know, it was just crazy.
What drama?
Well, he called me fake. Like it was Dicko and Mark Holden. Oh. They called me fake and I was really annoyed. And that night I remember we pre-recorded the live show and we were going to the ARIA Awards. So we had to pre-record it for it to air on Sunday night. So I just went off at him pretty much because I felt like humiliated and I couldn't understand why a judge for my age, I was very young, to call me such a huge thing, you know, accusation in front of like 2 million people. And my mom was really angry and she went off as well. And so last year we had a podcast and he really apologized and he felt that he was a bit harsh on one of the contestants and myself, because what he was expecting of us, we couldn't deliver because we were a little bit young and immature. So he felt like he was a little bit too tough on us because he wanted us to sing certain songs that probably had deeper feelings and everything like that. And we hadn't experienced that about life. For example, I grew up as a Christian child. So a lot of things, I didn't have much exposure with life and so many experiences like drugs or anything like that, whereas some contestants had already, you know what I mean? So we were not the same. So, and he was like, you guys cost me my job. And I was like, okay, that's fine. That's great. But he's now embarrassed now and life has just changed. But when he got fired, I don't want to lie. I was really happy.
can I just clarify a point?
Yeah.
So you go on and you sing the songs that you want to sing. And then they say, we want you to sing these songs that don't have anything to do with your life experiences. And when you say no, they go, you're so fake.
You didn't listen. You don't listen. And I was like, I don't listen. The thing is, I don't understand what you guys are expecting me to do. And you know, the best that you can get out of from an artist is who they are, because that they sing about their life experiences. Mm-hmm. It becomes fake when you are made to wear something that you don't want to wear, or when you're made to sing something that you don't want to sing. For example, I'm just very open. I remember the first top 12, one of the girls got booted off, and they said I was supposed to wear her shoes. After that, I'm like, hang on a minute. She got evicted wearing those heels. And you want me to wear those heels in the next time? What if I get evicted by wearing those shoes? I ain't wearing those shoes.
The eviction heels.
And I was like, I'm not wearing the same pair of shoe, girl. I am not doing that. And the stylist was like, Tozo doesn't want to listen to me. She doesn't want to wear those shoes. I was like, I'm not going on stage wearing the same pair of shoes that she got evicted wearing. I'm not doing that. So those kind of things, you know, it's all about being authentic. You speak out, but to a certain extent it wasn't easy. They probably misconstrued me, thinking because she speaks out she doesn't listen, or probably thought maybe when we're now making choices in the recording studio, you'd be like, no, I don't want this, no, I don't want that. But it's not like that. You have to be yourself, and you have to be comfortable in your own skin, you know. Definitely. When you're on that platform.
So the other two judges that actually was on Australian Idol at the time was
Marsha Hines. And Kyle Sanderlands, whom I really love. He stuck up for me as much as he seemed like a horrible guy.
I think you're one in very few people that
like
Kyle.
Yeah, he's good. I think it's because his grandma as well was my fan. Like, she loved me. So he used to tell me, if I grill you, I'm going to get it at home with his ex-wife tomorrow. They're still married then. So I had people at home, like, rooting up for me, seriously. But, you know, it was a great experience. He got the boot after a few things. I think there were other problems as well apart from that, and he's a great barrister now. We made up, we spoke, and he's a very nice person. I still have respect for him. Yeah. Although I felt like it cost me something anyway, that I really wanted Matt Corby to win. I didn't expect to win. I expected at least to come second or third, not fifth, personally, because I thought I had the opportunity to do better than fifth. I didn't mind second, because Matt Corby is out of this world. I mean, they didn't let him win, and look where he is now. That was a big loss to Sony. I still feel it's still a big loss.
Who won that year?
Natalie Gauci. Okay. And it didn't. It went the other way, so unfortunately. So, yeah. But Matt Corby, he's amazing. I still think he should have won the show, really, to be fair. So, yeah. But he's doing well now. So that's really, really good.
Good for him. Yeah.
Awesome. Yes, your emotion controls your emotion. I just got a lecture from Tarasa asking me, what does this emotion control your emotion mean? What do you think it means, Tarasa?
What does it mean?
Emotion. Your emotion.
Yeah.
Controls your emotion.
I studied psychology at uni. What does it mean?
Think about it. And I know this from past experience. If you lay and you're not moving, have you watched the movie Trolls?
No, not yet. Have I? No.
You should. You'd love it. You really? Must watch Trolls Part 1.
I haven't seen Trolls. No.
Because there's one troll's grey, and his name is Grudge, and the other one's all colourful.
Okay.
Branch. And what happens?
Branch.
Anyway, they also do hug time, so he hates it because, like, the clock goes, and it's hug time, and they all go and they hug each other.
Yeah.
And it's all happy music. And he's, like, he lays there, and he's grey, and he's singing alone in his room, and he sings, "Hello, darkness, my old friend, I come to talk." Now, that is not good.
That's negative, yeah.
So if you lay and you're not moving and you're not exercising and you're not activating that endorphins and then adrenaline, and you're just laying watching movies and you're not social, we were built to socialize, to move, to engage, to do things. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm encouraging people not to sit watching Netflix, not to sit on PS5 all the time. Get moving, get grooving, get exercising, go for a walk, do something, and just get
out moving. There.
Yeah.
Motion.
Your emotion controls your emotion. That's our saying.
You are what you become.
Excellent. You definitely are. Well, we got 2 minutes left. We're going to say goodbye from the Positive Energy Show, because next up we've got Darren Capes Davis and Jim Taggart on Spotlight. And following that, we have Lunchtime with Rage, and also Safe and Sound with Heba, our Lebanese program show all about domestic violence and sponsored by the police station. Well, coming up next, we have, as I said, Darren Capes Davis. This is goodbye from Ainsley, your host.
Goodbye from Special K.
Goodbye from Cameron.
Goodbye from Tarasai.
Tarasai, just before we go, can we have one last time? Just one last one. Can you, for the listeners, please pretend I'm Simba, lift me up. Okay, but don't like stress it out. Just go for it. Just one last circle of life call.
Okay.
Here we go.
Natsingonya mamagiti mabo haya haya sizungo bababa.
You know what? I remember that teddy bear because there's a little button at the back that you have to move for the legs and the feet or whatever, yeah. The hands to move. And I forgot to remove my long fingers, the baboon fingers that you have. And I couldn't move that thing. And I'm trying. I was like, if I drop this kid, the way I'm going to be in so much trouble.